keep it alive. Through these lines I write, I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling them flares, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope, so no overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Anti Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here with my co host, DB Schwartz. How's it going, brother?
Pretty good, pretty good. Right, a lot of crazy things going on, always. Seems like the escalation in the police state has taken itself to a new precedent with the Kelly Thomas, basically city council shenanigans going on. I guess we can say thanks to Patty Beers because she's an activist that got her name out there and made me realize just how deep the corruption goes. And now you can see that this city council is 100% behind the police because they have to be. And what kind of coercion went on to get this jury to do this verdict? That's what I want to know. Who was threatened with what, and who was going to lose their job, and who was going to lose their mortgage, and what was going to happen to these people if any of them voted not guilty?
And, you know, it kind of goes back, I guess, to kind of what happened with Dorner. You know, and it's just an example of this whole corrupt bureaucracy in Southern California government and law enforcement in California in general. I mean, we're known for our huge bureaucracy that's inefficient. We wasted more money than anyone else. We got a huge deficit, you know.
We were voted the second least free state after New York.
Yeah, and if you look at the problems that the LAPD have had over the years, I mean, they've been known for being racist and violent and oppressive and bureaucratic. You know, and it really came to light after Rodney King. The whole Rodney King beating and the trial, and it's kind of the same exact thing that we're seeing it resurface here.
And it's not just Fullerton, and it's not just Compton. It's any minority neighborhood in L.A., which is 85% of the neighborhoods in L.A. have issues with the LAPD. You know, the only places that don't are going to be like Beverly Hills and Malibu and Calabasas and Silver. I mean, you never hear about stuff going down there. I mean, the police know where their
except
tax
when,
base
except
comes
when
from.
Justin Bieber gets raided.
Oh, yeah,
for the
yeah, yeah, of course, when he gets swatted.
Every now and then the police do go in there.
Yeah,
they don't kill nobody. They don't beat nobody down. They go in and they take your drugs and that's it.
And the thing is, it's L.A. is such a hodgepodge. And it's not like a New York or an East Coast city that's going to have these distinct neighborhoods or even a Chicago. In L.A., yeah, there's neighborhoods. But everywhere you look, it's a forced melting pot. Like, there's every kind of person in every neighborhood. It doesn't matter, rich, poor, middle class, any religion, any race, creed, color, it doesn't matter. They're all together. So what I don't understand is why are the cops constantly having problems with only specific groups? It just comes down to the training and the long-held beliefs that these guys have, that it's them against the world, right? Now the cops are not protecting and serving anymore, and we know that.
Yeah, well, they're protecting and serving somebody or some group. They're just not protecting and serving us, the people that pay their salaries and then pay their bills and their pensions and all that stuff. We're paying for these guys, and they go and they beat us down with the dollars that are paying them that are our money. That's our money.
And the craziest thing about it is that one of these activists made a great point. Just stop calling for these services. You know, you don't know if when they show up, they may take you out, you know, because they feel you're a threat. You know, every time somebody calls for one of these services, that's more tax money that goes to them and it pays them. Just don't use them if you don't have to. Stop relying on this service. Stop relying on this defunct bureaucracy that's now resulting in more violence than it seems like these criminals are dishing out. I mean, how, you know what I mean? How many homicides are done per day by criminals versus police? I mean, you know what I mean? That would be a good statistic, because police are at 1.5 people a day they take out. What are criminals at?
It's, you know, it's hard to say. One stat that we do know for sure is that more people are killed by the cops than they are in war, at least right now in America. You know, we have more people dying at the hands of the police than we do fighting that have fought the whole war in Iraq. Okay, yes. So you know, there was 4,000 guys or whatever that died in Iraq, and you got over 5,000 guys killed by the police. In fact, I saw a statistic the other day that was saying that a black man is killed by the police once every 28 hours on average.
Wow.
You know, so it's an insane amount of people.
If police are averaging 1.5, you know, homicides by their hand every day, and an African American dies every 28 hours, you're talking about they're basically taking one out, you know, every single day. Every single day.
Yeah.
And more than that.
And, you know, there's another story that came to me personally. I don't want to get too elaborate on it because we're planning on making, you know, doing some things to try to remediate the situation. But anyway, a friend of mine went through a checkpoint of some sort and was basically kidnapped by the authorities. No reason given. Was in the back of their vehicle for hours. He was never charged with anything. He never had a reason to be detained. And then they just dumped him off in a city, in the middle of the city. And they didn't give him a ticket. They didn't give him any information. They didn't tell him why he was detained. And it was just on him to try to walk home. You know, he was an hour away from his house. You know, so this stuff is just getting more blatant and more blatant and more blatant.
I mean, what do we need to do? Do we have to have something like a trusted citizen program where we do the old Joe Biden brain scan and, you know, you can do your Minority Report predictive quantum programming and find out that I'm not a freaking threat to my country? And then give me this ID so I don't go to secondary ever and I never get shaken down because I've already been verified. I've already been vested. I'm not a traitor against my own country. I don't have a record. You know, leave me alone. Do we need to get to that stupid extreme? Because we're such a citadel, we're such a fortress America now. We're so paranoid about everything, and maybe we're justified in being that way. I mean, we don't know if attacks were prevented. We know that there's no proof attacks was prevented. The NSA has been proven that there's no proof, because that's the conundrum of it. With national security, how can you know if you're effective? Because it's all top secret. Well, we have no way of knowing.
Well, we talk about the cops killing more people than the people that die in war. How many do you think how high do you think the ratio is for terrorism?
I don't know.
Look,
we can't know.
We're 8 times more likely to be killed by a cop than we are to be killed by a terrorist.
Sure, but I mean, how many are stopped? And the thing is, we're in an Orwellian state because we're in a logical conundrum. We can't expect dudes to keep us safe if they devolve if they let us know what they're doing, right? But then if they don't let us know what they're doing, then we assume the worst, that they're basically watching everyone at all times and saving everything to blackmail us or incriminate us later in these data centers. And they're going to sift through the data with these logarithms and try to find keywords and people's voices and all this other BS. But did they prevent a dirty bomb from going off? The thing is, we just don't have any clue, and we can't have any clue. So we're stuck in this Orwellian nightmare now, where the surveillance state and the police state are wrapping down on us and saying, we're keeping you safe, but we can't prove it. And it's like, well, then we don't want it. If you can't prove it, we'd rather take our chances. I think we're kind of at the point now where I know you're not making me safe because you can't prove it. So let me keep myself safe. This is what this is what's going on in Mexico right now. The police, the army, are attacking the citizens for taking out the cartels because over there it's strict disarmament, right? And these citizens in these little towns are getting M16s because you can get guns easily because of Fast and Furious. And they're fighting the cartel, and then the army's like, whoa, disarmament for all citizens. We'll come in there and kill you for killing the cartels.
Yeah, the cartels are like, well, look, only two groups are allowed to have guns around here, the government and the cartels. The citizens, come on, you guys are supposed to be the victims. You're not supposed to be defending yourselves.
And they're sick of this victim culture. And I'll tell you this right now. This could easily happen here, except we're not going to be dealing with these dirt bags in the back of pickup trucks. We're going to be dealing with drones and autonomous tanks and things you've never heard of, like brown noise. Look it up. You'll poop your pants. I mean, we're talking about things like they're going to use on us that makes the Mexican military look like the 1850s.
Well, I saw this article the other day from I believe it was on Popular Resistance or one of those sites. I think it was Popular Resistance. Anyways, it turns out that a bunch of kids, not kids, but young men from Southern California, in fact, are going down there and fighting alongside of the vigilantes down in Mexico. A lot of these kids that were in gangs, that were rejected by the society, that were victim of the drug war, they're saying, you know what, screw it. Screw California. We're moving out of L.A. We're moving out of San Diego. We're going to go fight with these side by side with these vigilantes down in Mexico. So it turns out that there's actually a big contingent of people from Southern California down fighting with these vigilantes against the cartels and against the Mexican government.
And this is a different jihad. This is a jihad of freedom, of your own destiny. Because check it out, if the government and the cartels are in cahoots, and they are, and if our government and the cartels are in cahoots, and they are, there's no more government, okay? There's only the people and the oppressors, and that's all that's left in Mexico. There's no dividing line at all. Their military is 100% corrupted, and they're fighting with the cartels. This is why the drug war down there will never end. And the people know this, and they see the toll. I mean, you're talking about, God, how many people died? 40,000 or something last year? I mean, that is a staggering number of innocents to be caught in these firefights. Yeah. And worse, tortured, raped.
Yeah, so, you know, you got more people dying down there than are being killed in these war zones.
And they're at the point.
In fact, you know, Ciudad Juarez is more violent than Baghdad.
It is.
I mean, we hear about bombings in Baghdad almost every day. 20 people dead, 30 people dead at a wedding or outside of a parliamentary building. There was a car bomb that goes off in Baghdad, right? Ciudad Juarez, which is right across the border from Mexico or from Texas, is one of the most violent cities in the world. It's almost as violent. It's almost as bad as what's going on in Syria.
And you know what? This occurrence, this impending civil war going on in Mexico, because let me tell you, the people, they're not going to stand down, and I'll tell you why they won't. I watched some videos today of the fighting going on and the indiscriminate killing of these black op army groups on regular citizens and killing grandmothers and killing women, and then, you know, don't care. When you get to that point and you scare people so much they know they have nothing to lose, it's now a fight to the death, except it's 100+ million people in Mexico, okay? It's going to be a similar thing. This is a great lesson for America, and this is why we need to get jump-started on militias, community militias, before the economy collapses and all these roving gangs of sickos start coming out to terrorize us. We need to seriously get these things ready now.
Oh, yeah. And you know, next Monday, we're hoping to have a special guest. Well, this coming Monday. And she's directly connected down there with what's going on in Fullerton. And actually, I had the pleasure of meeting Patty Beers about, I don't know, was it a month and a half ago? Went to a media workshop up in L.A. in downtown, and I got to meet Patty, and I got to meet our guest that we're going to try to bring on Monday, and they were down there at the Fullerton City Council, and they were doing some pretty radical stuff down there. I mean, she was called up to speak, and she literally went up to the front, and it's a meeting to speak with the city council, and she turned her back on the city council. And she turned and faced the people, the public,
right,
that were there, and addressed them. And they were, and then the people at the city council were like, "No, you have to face this way." She's like, "I'm not going to recognize your illegitimate government or your illegitimate authority." I mean, this is some radical stuff going on in LA right now.
Yes,
and down
tired
in Fullerton.
It's a tinderbox.
We're gonna have her on the show on Monday. We're gonna try to. We're really gonna try to, and then maybe we can really get to the bottom of what's really going on down in Fullerton.
I mean, we do know what's going on. Listen, New York and L.A. are ground zero for oppression. We understand this, okay? This is where gun grabs are starting. But you know what? Maybe in New York, because everybody's so gung-ho patriotic and 100% American, they're too blinded to what's going on. But in L.A., we're not. We're an immigrant city. We're an immigrant area. We're a transient area. Southern California's got more people here than were born here, for sure. I mean, and the thing is, we know what it's like in other countries and other cultures. We know what's going on. We don't want it. I mean, LA voted non-GMO. They're going to start enforcing that soon. We're not going to allow this stuff to happen here. This is one of the best places in the world to live, and we're not going to let it go down like New York with these Bloomberg morons trying to ban everything. We're just not going to let it happen here. We're going to push back, even against all these complete doofuses that continue to go out and vote in our state, and I wish they could just not vote. I really wish that was the way it was.
There's just so many hordes of people out here.
Oh,
right?
My
you know,
God.
We're the most populous state in the nation. You know, we've got 35.
I think
you
it's
know,
38
more than likely, we've got more than 40 million people here.
Yeah, we got 40 million.
And it's just the massive amount of the hordes of people that are still watching this Fox News crap
it's
and this
the
MSNBC,
unwashed masses.
CNN
it's
crap.
All MSNBC.
You know, unfortunately, they're still at that point. But, I mean, we're making huge strides.
Huge.
And get this. And this kind of brings us right into what we were going to talk about first here, which is how marijuana already won the Super Bowl. But anyway, this is going to be huge because – as we all know, anybody that uses marijuana tends to think a little bit differently. They tend to think a little bit outside the box. They tend to distrust the government. They tend to distrust the police. I think it starts off as a distrust of the police. And it's because marijuana is illegal. And we've all probably gotten in trouble for it once or one time or another in our lives by the cops, you know. But it starts off with a distrust of the police, and then it leads you into this total distrust of authority figures and then government, and then that opens you up to go look for alternative news sources and things like that. So I think that all this whole sea change, this whole paradigm shift when it comes to marijuana, I mean, I can go out front of my house right now, walk down the street, light up a blunt, and chances are no one's going to give me any shit on my street. And even higher chances are that someone's going to stop and ask for a puff.
Yeah.
Okay. So this whole sea change, this whole cultural awakening when it comes to the whole marijuana issue, it's going to be so beneficial for our causes that we don't even realize it. People are going to start questioning 9/11. People are going to start watching documentaries. They're going to be watching Netflix. They're not going to be using cable TV, watching CBS, Fox News, and MSNBC, because that's just what people start doing when they're getting stoned, because they want to look into something a little more interesting, a little more different, a little something that it's not routine so much.
Yeah.
You know, so
you undergo a strange metamorphosis too, because what'll happen is, at first it'll start off something like, you know what, I'm going to get high and it's going to be recreational. Okay, and then what will happen is you're gonna do that. And then eventually you're going to be like, I'm going to watch a movie. I'm going to watch Zeitgeist. This is how it happened for me. You know, 5 years ago, I was a guy working in the machine, wondering why half my paycheck at the end of the year went to taxes when I looked at it all, including everything I bought and all that. And I thought, man, this is so stupid that, you know, the system is the way it is. Why do people take it? And it's because they don't know. They just don't know. And I wanted to educate myself. And the reason I started having those thoughts was, you know what? I was getting high. I wasn't getting drunk and going out and being, yeah, let's get with some chicks. Ooh, yeah, whatever. Nah, I wanted to expand my mind. And then it kind of, weirdly enough, did it.
Yeah, man. You know, what's funny is that I think Zeitgeist was my point of awakening as well. My buddy introduced me to it fresh out of high school. And he posted it on MySpace or something like that.
Yep.
And I ended up just randomly, I was like, oh, what's this? And, you know, and I click on it, it's an hour long. I'm like, oh, what the hell? And then I started watching, I couldn't stop. And then I was like, oh, I'm like, damn, I need to start looking into things a little differently. And then that's when I, you know, that's what started me on my path to, like, just going and looking at stuff. And, you know, I still have friends that are, like, in the Zeitgeist movement. I don't really follow it too closely, but it's a great tool to get people awake. You know, if you have a friend that may be on the fence, or maybe you've been planting seeds in their minds about thinking a little differently about things, Zeitgeist may be a good video to send to them.
I mean, a resource-based economy is really the only viable alternative for now until we can manipulate energy and mass to the point where we can create whatever material goods we want, including our own sustenance. But we're talking about 100-plus years away before we can get to that level of technology. So in the meantime, we kind of have like two choices. We have the elite's plan, which is let's wipe out a bunch of people, and then that's going to stop global warming, and we won't run out of food, and then we'll have the control grid set up, and anyone left over will be totally at our whim, and we'll advance humanity, and you know, only the illuminated man is going to survive this. And then we have the resource-based economy, which is we have a finite amount of stuff. We can regrow certain things, but we have to start changing the way everything is. We can't make any products that aren't going to basically stand the test of time because we just don't have the materials. You know what I mean? If we want to pull everyone out of poverty, they all need certain things. And we got to make things that last. We got to have like a 50-year car. You know what I mean? We can't have a car that breaks down in 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's. I don't know. I don't really follow exactly the Zeitgeist economy stuff, but it's definitely a way to open up people's minds, you know, and get them thinking back to, okay, well, maybe everything we've been told, everything we've been taught, everything they show on TV is basically either lie or just fluff. You know, either they're just making stuff up, or they're just creating fluff when they cover things like Miley Cyrus and Kanye West and things like that. It's just mind-dumbing, you know, mind-numbing, intelligence-defeating content, and people eat it up like it's organic fresh cake.
So it's
fresh
good.
Out of the oven.
So it's good Seattle and Denver went, because then it's the Super Bowl, because then we can, you know, bring awareness to that issue. And you know what the funny thing is that I believe the NFL is even voting next year on medical marijuana, because most of the players in the offseason, they're in such physical pain that they want to use it for aches and pains. And it's not performance enhancing. So for them to want to, you know, basically block it under the player agreement, it's ridiculous. So yeah, you're right. The sea change is happening everywhere, and people are starting to see alcohol is legal, way worse. This is stupid. All the older generation that cared enough to keep it illegal don't get out to vote anymore because they're generally in nursing homes. So we don't have to worry about it anymore. It's over. The sea change shifted. The tide's in. It's way too late.
I also know people that are like 65, 70 years old that puff.
Oh, yeah.
Grandparents and stuff. And maybe they use edibles and stuff for the pain or for the arthritis or for the glaucoma or whatever it is they have. Now, the thing is that the meme is already spreading. The idea is already seeded. I've seen the meme spreading day after day after day. The Super Bowl is in quotes. It's a Super Bowl because both of the states that are going to be in the Super Bowl are from marijuana legalized states.
Right.
Now, whether it's just a coincidence or whether marijuana is a performance-enhancing drug, who knows?
Well, Peyton Manning
speculate on it.
Peyton Manning's having a Papa John's special already. For $4.20, you can get a large with all the toppings you want. So that's only if he wins, though. That's what he. That's what Forehead Manning said. He called it the Forehead Manning 420 special. So
you know, no matter who wins this thing, the idea that marijuana is somehow tied in with it is going to proceed, you know, and I think in the end, I really don't care about the Super Bowl, but the fact that the meme is spreading about how both of these states are from marijuana states, it's going to just benefit the whole marijuana movement, the whole marijuana liberalization, and it's not about the laws, it's just about the mentality of people. You know, once more and more people get it in their brains that it's not a bad thing, that it should be looked at as nothing more than a beer, or even less, then the openness is going to spread and people are going to be able to do it just like we can do it here. Like I was saying earlier, I could walk out in front on my street and walk down the street smoking a blunt. I can do that now. You know, out here in California, luckily enough, we're already a little bit ahead of the game when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Just don't do it around Nancy Grace because she might contradict herself by talking to herself in a cleverly edited video.
Yeah. That was a great video, though.
That was amazing.
So, it goes back to what we were saying earlier about how marijuana use starts letting your brain think a bit differently. And you start looking at things at a different angle and think outside the box. And you start to get that distrust of authority. And that's healthy. Distrust of authority is essential for any working community. Because you can never let the person that's in power get too comfortable because then they're going to take advantage of you. So distrusting authority is great, and you know, kids are great at it. It's unfortunate that it looks so. A lot of times, it's looked down on in children. But if you have a kid that questions authority all the time, I see that as a great trait. You know, that's a good thing. So I think this whole thing is going to go towards that and benefit all the ideas and everything we're working towards. So I think it's a good thing, whether no matter who wins the Super Bowl, no one really cares.
It's a win for
it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, it's a win no matter what.
Couple quick things before we move on. OpSafe Winter. It's a hashtag. OpSafe Winter is still going on, guys. A lot of places are doing repeat events, like we are in San Diego. So if you have anything to give to the homeless people. Warm clothes, blankets, jackets, sleeping bags, tents, tarps, and maybe food. I know in San Diego we're doing food. Please try to find some people in your area and donate to them. This isn't like some charity where it's where only like 20% of the proceeds are going towards the actual charity. It's going like right to the people. You know, it's being held by the Anonymous Collective and the Occupy groups in the local cities. So please try to contribute to that if you can. And then we got a big action coming up on the 31st for the TPP. You know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, it's this huge trade deal that's being negotiated in secret. That's enough information for me to not support the TPP. But there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of things in the TPP that can be very, very bad and that could undermine our local sovereignty, undermine anything that we're trying to do, really, when it comes to copyright, when it comes to internet stuff. I mean, there's a good chance that if this TPP thing is passed, they could take down our website. They could take down all of our Facebook pages, and they can destroy the alternative media. Let's face it, that's what they've been trying to do. They've been trying to get a grip on the internet. They've been trying to control the internet. Who's behind it? What's the big Hollywood group? The big Hollywood, the A something something
they,
something.
They're the big copyright.
Yeah, it's a huge copyright lobby out of Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean,
and
they want to do.
They're helping design the TPP.
Oh yeah, because so it's all for them. It's about basically the copyright lobby, which is any intellectual property management, and it's Monsanto because it's a global Monsanto act. And it's a global copyright infringement act. And guess who's not involved in that? China, because they would never sign off on that bullshit.
No, No, because China's the one that does all the copyright. Exactly. Where they send it back to us to eat
so,
it up.
So this is going to – it's going to include silly things like the possibility of you being sued for using a likeness in a meme or even in your own post. If you were to post any likeness of anything, if you were to post a picture of Pokemon, you know, Pokemon can sue you. Because you use their anything they use without paying them.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what this thing could contain?
It's got negotiated. A lot of rider bills that are absolutely insane. You know, one of the ones was that it was going to make labeling GMOs illegal. Does that not strike you as surprising? Because it doesn't to me. Meaning that if you were to try to label them, any kind of ingredient being labeled in GMO, that would instantly be illegal. I can't even imagine how they could enforce that. It's just going to make all labeling of anything illegal, right? I mean, that's just awful.
Well, they're not too concerned about regular labeling. They just know that when something says genetically modified, people aren't going to buy it anymore.
Right.
Because I took biotechnology. That was my major in high school. And we actually – there was a little part in our class where the teacher was – because our teacher was a former biotech exec. You know, down here in San Diego, we have a huge biotech industry. And a lot of it's good. A lot of the stuff they're doing is good. But I don't agree with them forcing these GMOs on us, forcing these pesticides on us, and then not allowing us to know what the hell's in it. And then poisoning the water supply. I mean, 70% of our water supply is poisoned by a breast cancer-causing pesticide. The most common pesticide in the country, I mean, the most common pollutant in the country, in our groundwater, is a cancer-causing pesticide, and it causes breast cancer. And that's one of the reasons why we have such huge rates of breast cancer. Now, is there any research being done about it, being funded? No. Is there already a little bit of research about it out of Europe? Yes, but it's not being talked about. It's not being publicized. And it's not being funded by Monsanto, I can guarantee you that much. But they're trying to make it so that we just can't know what's in it. Because if we did know, it would just be a stigma. We would just say, oh, no, we're not going to buy that stuff. We're not going to – it's genetically modified. Okay, no.
Well, I mean, another precursor to TPP is China purchases Smithfield, which is the second largest pork producer in the U.S., okay? Now, this is a Chinese company that owns that. Now, guess what the TPP is going to allow theoretically? Chinese chickens can come here, not be labeled. You don't know they're from here. A Chinese company can make a product to Chinese standards, meaning they don't have to meet our FDA standards since they're not an American company. Be packaged here, as long as it's USDA approved, they can ship it out. Does not need to be FDA. Okay? So, you don't know that. Are you going to look at every little package you buy for every little thing you get? You can be assured once the TPP passes that unless you're shopping at Whole Foods or a farmer's market, you're ingesting pretty much pure garbage. Because it's going to just be so GMO infested now. It's going to be unbelievable. I mean, this is the kind of stuff like doing this, and then also it's going to make the United States absolutely insanely stringent vaccine laws go to every participating country. Can you imagine this? I mean, this is going to make pharmaceutical companies not billions but trillions and trillions of dollars because now they've opened the market to – well, if the TPP is all considered, you're talking about what? About a 1.52 billion more people? They're going to get wrapped into this business model. They're going to be forced to be vaccinated. They're going to eat GMOs. They're going to get cancer and be part of the cancer curing, aka cancer, you know, continuing industry.
So cancer subsidizing industry.
Right. I mean, this is what they want, man. They want this global system set up, just like they have it here. Where you literally live to work and you pay to live.
Yeah, man, and there's just so many of these big pharma drugs that come out to treat cancer. It's like, why aren't you looking at what's causing it? Oh, that's right, because your subsidiary companies, in the case of Syngenta and Novartis, you're creating the same pesticide that's causing the cancer for the same drug that you're creating to cure the cancer. So of course you're not going to look at what's causing it because you're the one causing it. I mean, this stuff is like unbelievable, but it's actually happening.
Yes.
I'm going to drop a link in the chat room once I get a chance to this story, because a lot of people don't believe this, but this is insane. They're creating pesticides that cause breast cancer, and at the same time they're creating the drug that cures this same kind of breast cancer.
Okay, and there's so, just no end to this madness. Everybody scratches everybody's back in a perpetual circle jerk, okay? You have a lobbyist get a job after they've already worked for the government that passed the bills that benefited the company that they now work for the lobby for. They're all interrelated. They're all cousins, seventh or eighth cousins. I think every single president ever, except for one guy, was at least an eighth cousin or better. They're all related, I think, believe King James III. And don't believe, and you know, don't think that they're not all. Every single person in a position of power in any company, in any government agency, they're probably all related in one fashion or another. This is royalty that goes all the way up. This is American royalty, because America is a company and a CEO is a prince.
Yeah, all right. I found one link to it. I don't know how good it is, but I'm going to drop it in the chat room for you guys to see, because, I mean, this is just unbelievable stuff. And this is the kind of stuff that we're going to see expanding when the TPP goes down. Because, you know, there may be pesticides that are banned in these countries. There's a lot of countries in Europe that are banning these pesticides. There's a lot of countries in South America, like Peru, that are trying to get these pesticides out.
Well, Peru's already 15 – they signed a 15-year ban on all GMOs. You know, they still do use some conventional pesticides, although for the most part it's family farms. And they use – believe it or not, they just spray vinegar on the crops. That's all you got to – it's silly because it takes so much manpower. But guess what? I'd rather eat some vinegar apple than some freaking Arctic tundra apple that never goes brown and has wax all over it.
Maybe they should start making chemtrails out of vinegar.
Dude, they could do so much, and we all know what chemtrails are. Chemtrails are soil killers, okay? So you can't grow your own food in 10 years, even if you have your own farm. There's going to be so much damn aluminum in the soil that only Monsanto plants are going to grow. So, I mean, this is all part of the goal, and killing the bees and replacing them with little mini drone bees. Because then if they don't like you as a farmer, they'll just – your field won't get pollinated anymore. You know what I mean? It's real simple like that.
Yeah, man. So this whole TPP thing, which is a huge, huge overloading trade deal, and it makes NAFTA look like a little baby in the baby's crib.
Yeah.
Okay, this is NAFTA on steroids plus all of his brothers. So there's a big action, international action going on January 31st. Against the TPP in the form of protests, in the form of internet protests. And who knows what action is going on, but they're happening in every city. So make sure, if you guys can, help out your local TPP activists, anti-TPP activists. Get involved with the protests, whatever you can or whatever you're willing to do to stop this thing, you know, because that's what we got to do is we got to work local. Contact your local representation, whatever it is you got. They may not be great.
Freak people out.
They may
out.
Be shitty, actually.
Freak people out in industries. Like, I actually told one of my friends that works for a cable provider, I told him, hey, you know what? This TPP thing is going to make it so that your cable provider is going to have these exclusive agreements, and soon you're not going to be able to carry all the channels because there's going to be certain companies that aren't going to want to work with other companies. And then because of this new TPP, the way the internet's going to work, if I have so-and-so company, I try to go on ESPN.com and they don't have an agreement, that's going to be blocked. And he's like, no way that'll pass. You know, that's going to kill the internet. And I'm all, it's a done deal, dude.
Well, I think that's the goal. We saw SOPA, PIPA, SOPA 2.0 inserted into the National Defense Authorization Act. We still can't confirm whether that's in. But the internet controls are built into the TPP as well, you know, and it's no secret that the establishment has been coming after the internet. They've been trying and trying and trying. Luckily, we've been able to put up enough resistance to not let it go through, but they're going to try to sneak it through in these secretive deals.
But they can't do what they want to do without killing commerce. And that's what I've really noticed about a lot of the things I've been reading. And a lot of the internet experts are even saying, all this legislation is just impractical and unenforceable. How are you going to do it? I could use a proxy. You don't know what country I'm in. I'll use Linux. Try to crack that shit. Everybody's going to go back to all these old school ways and learn things and get around this. And shit, maybe we can tap into the Brazil, Russia, India, China, Internet 2.0 and get around this BS Internet grid. Because it's going to kill legitimate trade and commerce, too. I mean, we're already seeing our own partners, and we can bring this into this story we're going to talk about with the gold. But our own partners in NATO don't want nothing to do with the American financial model anymore. They know it comes hand in hand with NSA anal probe right into your financial sector, okay? So if you're a company that has any kind of dirt at all, you're blackmail city.
And then and then if you fail to comply, they got guns barreling down your throat. You know, and it's just like it's I guess what's happening with our local police, how they're beating people up like in the Kelly Thomas case, it's just a microcosm of what's happening globally. It's in the same thing. If you don't comply with what the US authorities are telling you, like for instance in Libya, then guess what? We come barreling down on you with drones, Hellstorm missiles, and tanks, or whatever else we got to do.
And that's only after we can't economically.
You see, our philosophy is flawed from the bottom up, from the local police level to the very top, executive branch, to the advisors, to the Secretary of State, and all that stuff. It's all flawed from the very gate. Like you can't even like from the very beginning, the instant that they try to solve an issue, they're thinking about it backwards. And, you know, all this talk about blowback. I mean, the first time I ever heard the term blowback was watching Ron Paul in the debates. And now blowback, you hear it all the time. You see it on the New York Times. You see it in the Washington Post. And you're seeing what happened in Benghazi. That was clear blowback. And the 9/11 terror attacks, if they were real, that's blowback.
And you know
it's
what
all
else?
Blowback because of our obtuse foreign policy. And guess what? The blowback is going to come back now at the domestic level, like what we're seeing in Fullerton. The people are rising up against what's going on there, and you're going to start to see local blowback because we're so tired of our government.
And this insidious kind of power grab that had been going on globally is now hitting a wall at the Sochi Olympics because we're seeing Putin put $50 billion into this Ring of Steel security apparatus in direct response to the Saudi royal family threatening them. And he said, listen, if there's a single occurrence that happens here, I will flatten Mecca. I believe there was some quote attributed to him, although I doubt Putin's stupid enough to make a threat like that. But it was a veiled threat. And the reason why is because everyone knows this is a proxy war ramp up. This is a false flag magnet. You cannot hope for a better chance to start more than a regional conflict by making sure Chechen rebels detonate something at the Sochi Olympics. And we're starting to see the tentacles that have come out of this crazy military industrial complex apparatus are starting to hit a wall in China, a wall in Russia, a wall wherever they try to make their grasp a little more powerful. They're getting hit back. And then now people from inside are attacking the body now because we realize this whole giant octopus of a system is diseased and cancerous to the core.
Well, if you look back at what we did to the Russians in Afghanistan, and I mean we've been in a proxy war with the Russians for, you know, since the 50s, since the end of World War II. If you look at what we did in Afghanistan, we created the Al Qaeda. We created Al Qaeda for Afghanistan.
Correct.
And we created them in order to funnel drugs and money and weapons over towards the Mujahideen or whatever, the guys that are fighting out in the Talibani in the Afghani mountains, you know.
Right.
These are just militia. They're not terrorists, they're born and bred fighting people. You know, and they're guys that you can't beat. They've been fighting in those hills for the past 1,000 years. They've got tunnels that are thousands of years old. You're not going to beat these guys in a conventional war.
Didn't even Reagan say that these fine gentlemen have the moral fiber of our same founding fathers?
Yeah. I mean, they were allies back then.
They were rebels.
Yeah, and we created them in order to fight against the Russians. Okay, and now the Russians have this Chechen problem. And believe me, the Chechens are known as some of the fiercest fighting men in the world. These guys are descendants of these of the Mongolian hordes. Okay, these guys are genetically they're warrior people. You know, so that's a huge problem, and I wouldn't doubt that we're in there some way or form, one way or another, manipulating these terrorists.
Well, yeah,
and either arming them or playing them twice or whatever it is that we're trying to do over there. I mean, I think it's all part of this whole it's just a whole ramp up, and we're seeing it in the media, and every other 10 minutes the media is talking about a possibility of a terror attack happening at the Sochi Olympics.
So there will be, and it's already been planned, right? So it's up to the Russians to try to stop it, because it's through our own group we're going to try to prod them and poke them and test their defenses, and this is the little tit for tat stuff, you know what I mean? I still, at my core, believe we're maybe a few years away from announcing we have some sort of alliance in the works, or some kind of practical alliance with Russia. But until it's no longer convenient, they're a great kind of adversary, this Iron Curtain type adversary, this Cold War type old sentiment adversary that still works to advance the agenda, the police
state
agenda.
The military industrial complex.
And the police state agenda, because now look, the Russian people will start to accept far greater security if there is an attack there, right? And if they stop an attack there, well, then they're still going to really be like, well, man, I'm glad we had all that security.
Now, let's not forget that the Boston bombers were also Chechen. Okay.
Yeah.
And we got to understand that some way or another that ties all into this whole thing. And it may be just some kind of media blitz to start demonizing the Chechens. And maybe there's a huge oil field that was found under Chechnya, which I wouldn't doubt, because the Caucasus have been fought over for how many years? I mean, Hitler tried to take the Caucasus because he knew there was oil over there. So, I mean, who knows what the real agenda is? We don't know. But what we do know is that the narrative being fed to us in the media is bogus.
Yeah.
They're conditioning us. They're hyping it up. I mean, it's just insane.
Well, I mean, it's getting us ready. It's like what Hollywood movies do. You know, it's called predictive programming. When you hear something enough times and then it actually happens in your mind, you're like, well, you know what? I figured that would happen. It doesn't surprise you. It doesn't shock you. You know, it doesn't elicit outrage. It conditions you. It numbs you. That's what it does on a subconscious level to you. And that's what they're getting ready to do. So don't be surprised if something pops off. And you won't be surprised because you've been conditioned.
No, yeah, and it's all part of this psychology. It's a science, and it's a part of this propaganda. The Nazis used it. It was developed by Sigmund Freud mostly, but it's just so plain and obvious to see now. You know, and I mean the last one. What was it? The Winter Olympics. What was the Olympics in London?
The last Olympics were in London. That was summer, but that was one of the craziest.
Oh yeah, freaking, the summer.
That was the craziest opening ceremony I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and then there was a alternative media hype. I know Alex Jones was hyping that there was going to be some terror attack there. So we just don't know. I mean, it's the one thing is clear is that it's being hyped up, and that there's probably something connected with the Boston bombing, because we've already, you know, now Americans have that. That seed is planted in our brains about the Chechens and what they're capable of and what they do.
No, they grew from
and
with
so
the Arabs
now,
and the Muslims.
You know, yeah,
and
so Chechens now are basically probably in the average American mind are just a bunch of Arab terrorists. You know, that's
right.
What people probably think.
Well, anything in Call of Duty Modern Warfare is all the new axis of evil. Chechnya and North Korea and Yemen and all those. You know, all the places they make look like big shitholes.
All the places that are giving the establishment a problem.
Right.
You know, because let's face it, Chechnya is the biggest thorn in the side of Russia. That's their problem, and they can't just make a new border and cut Chechnya off from the country, because they probably got all the oil down there. Okay, so there's a good reason why Russia is really making their presence felt. And there's a good reason why they chose to have the Olympics at that location.
Right.
You know, so, you know, Russia is basically stating, you know, this is our territory. We're not going to lose it. We don't care how much of a problem. We don't care if Chechnya turns into Afghanistan. They got so much oil under here, we're going to keep it.
Right. Right. Well, yeah. I mean,
and let's face it, all this stuff, all these conflicts, the conflict in Syria, the conflict in Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, it's all about resources and wealth.
Always.
And this new report that came out is no big surprise. Did you see it? 85 people, 85 individuals, the richest 85.
Own half the world's wealth?
They own more wealth than the bottom 50% of the world.
Do you want to know who rules the world? It's those 85 people. I mean, and then who tells them what to do? Because they're the official people with the money on the books.
They're the people with the money on the books.
Right, which means...
Now, the real wealth is not really... No one really knows.
Yes, we do. We do know. Because we know what a trust is worth. We can extrapolate Queen Elizabeth's worth by looking into the royal trust and finding out how much land she owns and pieces of art. And we know the Vatican's somewhere north of $500 freaking trillion because of all the freaking land they own. So you're
and
talking
then you got
about,
the Rothschilds.
And they're probably around the same, 500 trillion-ish. That's what it seems to be the magic number, which the world economy, I believe, was only like 65 trillion a year. So you're talking about guys that have so much massive wealth acquired that they have the amount of what the world makes in like 6 years, 7 years of the entire production of every human being on Earth, of these derivative-based wealth schemes. They're just numbers in a bank somewhere, and as long as people continue to accept it as purchase for their labor, then they have power. And when you don't, they don't.
And I think Putin's up there in that list of 85.
Well, he's $70 billion.
I think he's probably in that list of 85.
I believe that he's ranked third or fourth in the world, but that by far he's more powerful than Carlos Slim or Bill Gates.
The power that guy wields makes him probably the wealthiest man in the world.
He's the most powerful man in the world, at least that we can see. Now, Putin himself has his own shadow masters. You can be sure of that.
Oh, yeah, dude. Guaranteed.
So it's the people that have the control and they're the trustees of these multinational, multi-generational trusts. These are trusts. Some of these trusts, if you look at the research, because they exist, you're talking about trusts that are back from the 1500s, dude. I'm talking about making 500 years of exponential interest. Can you imagine the wealth?
Well, yeah, you're the, you know, if that's, you know, in these cases, you are the people that are financing both sides of these wars.
Of course you are.
And you've been financing both sides of the wars since before Napoleon.
And you're financing your agenda for the human race.
So to think about that, I mean, the total wealth and resources are hoarded by this tiny group of people. You know, on the paper, it's a couple hundred people. 85, we know 85 of them own the amount of half the people. Now, on paper, there's a couple hundred, maybe 1,000 of these people. And then behind the scenes, there's maybe, you know, a handful.
And you have to know that these people, these influential people that own on paper, they're allowed to own this. You have to understand that. They're playing the game with the money that the money makers allow them to play it with. So see, it goes far beyond that. It goes far beyond that. This is where the physical gold IOU issue now, and now is a perfect segue into that. Because there's so much fake money amassed, so much value with nothing attached to it, so much derivative action, that physical gold now is starting to be called in. A country like Germany, which, by the way, is a vassal state of the United States, had the audacity to ask for 300 tons of gold back on their debt. Because guess what? We owe Germany money. How weird is that? And what did we give them? We gave them 5.
We gave them an IOU.
We gave them 5
tons.
So,
you know, Germany called in their gold and they said, hey, we want that gold that we deposited a long time ago. We want it back. And our government said, okay, we'll give you a little and then we'll give you an IOU and we'll pay you back sometime soon. Now, this kind of has some bigger you know, repercussions that go along with it, I guess. The fact is that we just don't have the gold anymore. We don't have the gold in Fort Knox. We don't have the gold at the Fed. We got a bunch of paper notes. And all the gold disappeared in 2008.
Yep.
2009, when they bailed out all the banks and they sent all this money everywhere, all around the world.
And no one knows where that physical gold is. Nobody knows. It just disappeared. It went to private interests. And what that means is that these people that are the real leaders, the real masters, not these 85 guys that have all these billions of fiat numbers in a bank account, the people that tell these guys how to play ball, they took all the physical gold because they know the economy is going to crash. This fake fiat derivative economy is going to crash. And the way that they're going to trade among themselves, because remember that kings use gold. They're going to, once all the little people are dealt with, and trust me, they're going to deal with us. They will. They're going to trade among themselves in gold for things that they want. That's whatever's left in the world that's not poisoned by what's coming.
What we need to do is find this stuff and then redistribute it equally between every person on the planet.
Yeah. Good luck.
How nice would that be? Melt it all down into little tiny coins, and we find every single person on the planet and give them one.
I'd settle with just giving an empty house to the homeless like we talked about last time. That's a great first start. Let's get roofs over the heads of people. There's plenty of housing. And once we do that, the economy, I promise you, is going to rebound because – there's a whole lot of people right now that are sucking from the government teat, and they'll actually start, I guess, making their own milk, so they say.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the thing, unfortunately, is if we did do that and we did redistribute all the gold that was hoarded by these shadowy entities, unfortunately, if things were to remain how they are now, you'd see all that wealth go back into the same pyramid scheme within a matter of 50 to 100 years. You know, the same thing would happen. So, you know, I guess we have to address more of the structural issues. If we're really going to try to make headway as far as humanity goes, you know, to try to improve the standard of living for everyone in the world, we can't just go and redistribute wealth and think that everything's going to be fixed. That's not really the issue.
That's the Obama plan.
The real issue is that the whole structure that we've been living under for the past couple thousand years, ever since government was invented, is flawed.
Well, we're post-scarcity. So let's be honest. If we have enough factories and enough power, because we do, we know through Tesla Tech and the geomagnetic sphere that we have unlimited power, so we can have factories that are automated and robots and make everything basically for free that we need to sustain life and allow everybody to go to school and follow their passion and be creative and be geniuses at something. We know that can happen right now. There's just got to be the will. There's just got to be the will. It's got to be to the point where it's do or die. If we do not change the way that we function as a global society, we will have no more world to live in because we'll all fight and destroy it. We see it happening now. We're either going to destroy our environment and kill ourselves, fight over resources and start a world war and kill ourselves, or the elites are going to just basically con us into killing ourselves.
Well, I guess when it comes down to it at the very end, you know, we know that the sun's not going to last forever, so eventually, you know, the earth's going to be not livable. But it comes down to this. Are we going to make this world a living hell where everyone wants to get the hell out of it, or just – I mean, even to the point where you'd rather just be dead? Or are we going to make this planet a place where you would actually want to live? Where people could if we did get visited by aliens sometime in the future, and they came and they're like, wow, this is a cool, harmonious...
Well, they're already here and they're waiting for us to fix our shit, man. That's what I think. I think they've been here a while. Until we fix our shit, they're not going to let us even keep this planet.
I wouldn't doubt it. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.